the form of Jesus, that the spiritual body is perfect. The spiritual body is perfect wherever you go. It never is seen. It's always what you might call underground. That isn't where it is. The spiritual body is everything there is in God's universe. The Christ had a spiritual body. This was why they didn't recognize it. They wasted their time trying to crucify him. This is why everybody thinks they can do this crime and that crime. They're not injuring the spiritual body at all. It doesn't even get involved in human problems. When one army walks over another army, we think there's a terrific slaughter. It's not exactly a movie in Technicolor, but to someone in the fifth world, this isn't even seen. And we think it's a ponderous thing with armies attacking armies and bullets and bombs. It is not seen above the fourth world, because it isn't happening. I suppose there was this plan that if we give them a place where they can do anything they want to do, they'll get it out of their system. And that's about it, you know. By the time we've got through the fourth world, we've got it out of our system. Now, he started out and had a little talk with God to this head, somewhat like this: Father, I realize I've got a perfect body. I realize I'm going to have to learn how to let it function. I don't think I can give it vitamins and help it. I don't think I can give it liquor and hurt it, because it doesn't do anything in material way. But I want to get into understanding it and living with it, letting it flourish, letting it teach me. I've got to live the God life. And the Father will say, well, I have a son on earth. I call him Jesus. You find that whatever he does, if you sit down and think about it, and then don't think about it, let your soul wander slowly over the things he says and does, here and there you'll get an idea from what he says. Sometimes he's very specific. And if you will follow it out, you'll find that you're working closely to that type of life which gets you through without the hindrance of a physical body. He's showing you that everyone has a spiritual body by the way they all recover in his healings. When he takes a dead man and he takes every kind of ailment and shows its nothingness, it's because its nothingness is the fact that it is not in the spiritual body. In the spiritual body, you don't have cancer. You don't have any of these ailments. The only reason people have these ailments is because they're living in the hypnotized body. You're living in a state of hypnosis. And it's important for you to go through that hypnosis, get the stuff out of your system. If you didn't go through that state of hypnosis, and I made you perfect, or I permitted perfection, or I somehow did not interfere with perfection, you wouldn't have anything to compare it to. You wouldn't even know you had a perfect body. At any rate, the plan is to let you mature from the zero stage to your present level. Now maybe you're a very smart fellow, and you know what to do about things, but you still find that you're not in a body that's free. This body is hemmed in by a certain thing called matter. It's hemmed in by space, by time. You can't go up in the air. You can't go down in the earth. You're limited to a little level, and you're limited to 2 feet. Your breathing is hopefully pretty good, but it's not so extraordinary that it doesn't give out one day. Has a little trouble on the way. I don't know why we didn't know it, but why couldn't we have said, now, how could God make this inferior product? Everybody who manufactures is proud of their product. How come God isn't? God would say to you, well, I didn't make that product. Don't you see how it wears, how it ages, how it slows down? You buy an imitation all the time. In fact, I can't talk to you, you're hypnotized. Nothing can get through to your mind. Nothing can get through to your soul. Now, when Jesus comes to you and does some miraculous thing, you say, look what he did, how wonderful it is. He's just exposing reality to you. Reality to you is a miracle. But reality is exactly what you are in reality. I think what we have to come to then is the acceptance that the Father is the perfect creator. And that whatever is not perfect is not created by the Father. Whatever does not function perfectly, whatever is in some way in need of repair at some time, whatever ages, whatever is deficient, anything that we see that is not perfect cannot be from the only one who is the creator. So you see, when we accept this world as it is, say this is that way and this is that way, I'm going to clean this up, but this is all right here. And we don't know that we are under a state of hypnosis. We don't know. Things look normal to us, that's fine. And that too is a state of hypnosis. You look at your face today and you say, oh, how lovely I am. No wrinkles, bright outlook. Then you turn and look at your parents, and they're beginning to get a few wrinkles. And you wonder, I guess that's the way everybody goes. But they don't all go that way. Nobody goes that way. This is the human scene. This is not the divine scene. The divine scene has no aging process. Mentality, appearance, all of it part of one cosmic hypnosis. You're not at all like you look, you're not at all like you act, you're not at all like you think. Turn ye. And I think at this time, to learn that we're not what we look like and what we think we are. And I think that's what I'd call a godsend. Because if we were, and if we were exactly like we look and like things seem to be, wow, what a universe it would be, with just a part-time universe, good and bad, evil, kinds of negatives running around it, overcoming the positives, one nation overcoming another nation. I don't know, our suspicion of this not being God's universe would have been very accurate. So now, from this day forward, although we've done our best up to now, we're going to do better. And I'm going to try to live in the right body, which automatically, when it's the right body, is living in the right universe. So all I have to do is correct the body. Now, this body thinks that there are problems of the body, and it's thinking with a mind. I have to look at that mind and see in the Bible that same mind was telling other people in the Bible that you, something is wrong here, something is wrong there, you've got this and you've got that. That human mind. Now I'm going to have to look at that mind and realize even a good human mind is hypnotized. Even a top-grade human mind is hypnotized. I bet you the smartest man in the world doesn't know he's hypnotized. He thinks he's a man. And if he looks around, he can realize that he's a good man. He thinks a lot of other things that are not, but he thinks they are. Now, hypnosis leaves nobody out. Everyone is under a state of hypnosis. The sweetest, nicest people in the world are hypnotized. Your mother, your brother, your father, your sister, and yourself. You all think you're human beings. You cannot find one human being on the earth if you can you've made a big mistake, because that one human being you find someday will be a dead human being. Do you realize what we're trying to do? We're trying to get into a special little group of people who are aware of what God says is true, who are able to live and somehow under the laws set by that particular deity. They're trying to get into a little group that is permanent, that never loses identity, that never, never gets old. And our authority for it is Jesus Christ. Everything we want to do that's good is by Jesus Christ. We think the most outlandish things, and we try to do them. If he didn't say you can, you can't. If he said you can, you will. And there are a number of people now on the earth who are doing some things that you wouldn't dream possible. There are different consciousnesses than ours. They get where they're going quicker. They don't bother to stop off at some of the places we stop off at. find this invisible man in your room tonight. If you do someday, stop a little while and think about it. You don't have to react. You find that a spirit will never touch a human being. So the spirit's never going to worry you with touching you. Unless it's a light touch while you're asleep or something like that. And the spirit will always be there as a good sign. You may or may not receive any advice. And in my opinion, you probably won't. Whatever the spirit is there for, he knows. And he wouldn't be there if not for a purpose. Whatever the spirit is about is a good purpose. Maybe he's just willing to expose himself so that you will see him and feel the divine touch and act accordingly. But whenever you do see a spiritual being in your room or wherever you are, you'll be frightened at first, or maybe not, concerned, but he won't come near you to bother you. And just establish his presence. I don't say her presence, I've never seen a female spirit. It's a wonderful excitement because something is bound to happen from it beyond what just did happen. I want to tell you, though, that it's only possible to come into a consciousness that's been washed of hypnosis. Otherwise, you'd see spirits all over the place. You can't see through the hypnosis of human brains, human thought, material thought. That hypnosis is out of the way. You'll find more of it. And that'll be a sign to you to say, you're not as hypnotized as you used to be. And I'm frank to say, I'm thrilled to death, because the hypnosis that used to be isn't. Now, when I feel I have an obligation to fulfill what the Father said I can fulfill, every knee shall bend, there is a kingdom, we can make headway and approach it, we are promised acceptance and admittance. We have requirements. Keeping the consciousness open and clear and honest. You'd be surprised what honesty means. And spirit knows when you're honest. It's not what people are looking at you yet you're honest. You're honest in the privacy of being in a dark room. You're honest at certain intervals when there's no one around, but you're honest. You know that this is a no-no, this is a yes-yes. You just are that way, and you're opening the door for spirit. I think the one who has entered the spirit, living in spirit, is receiving all kinds of encouragement. And if you're not getting the encouragement, it's because you're not living in the spirit. Also, if life seems sort of dull, that's not a spiritual activity, of course. Now, the spiritual body was not a prominent part of our study for a long time. We were told to have that mind that was in Christ Jesus and all kinds of things, all kinds of helps, but somehow never told me that I'm already the Christ body when I start out. The Christ, of course, is the spiritual body that I want too. And now that I know that a spiritual body is a thing that everyone wants and everyone has but doesn't know they have, well, that's a step closer than wanting what you don't have. So I'm setting it clearly. You have the spiritual body. You cannot go out and find it. It's there. That's the basis of your life. That's the reason you're going to live forever. But you can't live forever in a body which is not pure, and so you've got to realize the purity of your spiritual body. You can't say it's pure. You have to prove it. You have to prove it. This ailment isn't mine. It can't hurt me. It's not real. I have the spiritual body. You find a way to rid yourself of that which calls itself an ailment, which is foreign to your spiritual body and therefore non-existent. You'll be surprised how much power you can emanate from the knowledge that you are the spiritual body. It gives you the power to reject what is not the spiritual body. And if you retain that power long enough to stare in the eye that which is threatening you, you'll find you do have the body that God gave you. And that's what you live in. You find a way to live in it. Until you're sure of yourself, you feel that you know something. Some mighty important face-to-face obstacles to overcome. It's very important that you face them with a knowledge of their unreality. They'll seem mighty real to you. About a dozen things will be threatening, life-threatening. You've got to learn how to come up and face them. And you face them with the knowledge, this that appears to be a threat to me is threatening what isn't there. You've got to take your life out of the body you're in. Because your life is never threatened. Can you remember your life is never threatened? At times it'll seem so. The threat is hypnosis. And a life you think is being threatened, that's hypnosis too. Get inside yourself. Try to come to an understanding, a feeling of what is real and what is not. You can touch anything. Figure it's not real. that's not real, what do I do to make something take its place? Well, you see, don't impose your human will there. Don't try to substitute what you think will take its place. This is God's universe. Have some faith that what God wants to replace will remove the hypnosis and show you what's there. Always what's there, everywhere, is perfect, but you don't see it. When you say you don't see it, that doesn't mean it's not there. You don't see reality. You're living in a whole world, and not one thing in it is reality. Does that frighten you? Does it seem as if you won't be able to get anywhere? If a car runs over you, or you run over another car, the people who die in that accident aren't hurt one bit. It's almost inhuman to think so, isn't it? You've got to know these things. The self is always alive. Easter, 1993. Let's make a pledge to ourselves. I don't know how long I'll be with you teaching, but I'd like to say that sort of make a date for Easter 1995. Just get ahead of ourselves. Easter 93, you learn something you may have not known, that you're going to live forever. That the reality of you can never die. That the reality of you is never sick. And yet you're going to experience a lot of sickness, a lot of fear, a lot of close-to-death experiences. And they're never going to be you. You will be behind it all. And it's very possible for you to establish this you. You don't always consider that you're going to stay in a state of hypnosis. Now, at the beginning of today's seminar, I told you about the I that you had to establish. And this is the I that gives you your identity realized. You must be in that state when a threat comes to you. You go to the I of your being, which is you and is not threatened. And you feel perfectly self, safe. This is old age coming on. It's going to happen to everyone. At 80, you start to think about, wow, gee, I can't function right. Today, my this don't work, and tomorrow, my that don't work. I'm losing ground. Then there has to be the other side of you. The part that can unsee all the things that are losing ground. The part that can realize, I am all there is of me and I don't age a minute. I don't have any pain, any problems. There is an aspect of me which sees an aging, tired mortal. Well, I was that back in 1993. Lord, this is 1994. That's a million years in spirit. I can't even remember being feeling old or feeling tired. Or I would should I look at that? Well, what spirits say? Look through these spiritual eyes. And I think it's possible to look through your spiritual eyes and feel a difference, quite a difference. Even if you just feel it for a short time. Think that you're going to keep your eyes open for spirit if he pops into your room. Funny thing is that there is spirit all around you in different forms, always. If they would come out when you go like this, and you see 1,000 appear right now. And yet we fit into this atmosphere as if we own things, and as if we were the only ones here. I bet they must have a laugh sometimes. They don't even know we're here. Well, I'm not going to say goodnight until we have a final meditation, because I want to see if we can communicate with each other better now than we did at the start, which was pretty good, incidentally. that I've forgotten that you can think of? Anybody know what I've forgotten?
You said you were going to make a date for us or a time for us to meditate together.
All right, that's it. We want to set a time to meditate together if you want to join us. The time is Friday, every Friday, at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, standard time, whatever it is here. It'll change somewhere else, and if you're in Maui, and it'll change from 12 o'clock to whatever time it is there, but this will be American. That's American too, I guess.
California time.
California time is what I meant. Thank you. And this has been going on for 9 years, by the way, and it's quite a setup, this 12 o'clock meditation. We'd welcome you there. And all you do is sit by wherever you are, in your living room or anywhere else. Start sharply, be ready at 12 to go. Just go quiet and go as easily into meditation as you can. You'll find it intensifying. You'll find it breaking up certain things that are around you and giving a clearer vision of some things. It lasts 1 hour. 12 to 1, and then you can forget it for another week. Might put it on your calendar and circle Fridays, and if you go on vacation, makes no difference. If you go to the same state, it'll be the same time. If you go to another state, it'll be an hour earlier or later. So you can join, and I hope someday we have a fairly good turnout on it. Although it's all invisible and we all have this one goal, to develop this infinite harmony, become aware of the infinite harmony. And I'm so glad you reminded me of that. That's one of our most important projects. This 1 week, this 1 hour of silence on Friday, wherever you are. I hope you join it. And I'd like to see 10 more years of that. And you'll see some remarkable results that we've had when we've done it for about 9 years. That. I hate to say goodbye, that's the trouble. I want to stay here and I can't, so I'll have to say goodbye. I can't say, this has been a beautiful class to me, and I hope it's helpful to everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.